Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
The goal is to be what Drake is to mainstream. Like, you want to be the independent artist that becomes as popular as Drake. At this point, I'm sure labels are watching what you're doing. I'm sure they're putting roadblocks in a way to try to, you know.
Or they might be putting offers.
They put offers.
Roadblocks, and then, but you're almost in a sense like the poster guy.
I can't be blocked.
For independence.
I can't be
How
blocked.
How can they block
I don't
you from
use
the people?
They systems. I don't use they said they. I can't be blocked. We have our own distros that we work with directly. We don't use the major system, and it's like platforms like this. We create our own content. We have our own live performance platforms. Like, we really don't have to go through their systems for nothing.
Yeah.
There is no block. And I'm in my backyard. If they stop any motion, I'm just gonna go in the backyard.
My graduates from my school being Forbes backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
All right. Yes, we are back in the Dirty South, Atlanta, our second home.
And every time we come to Atlanta, magical things happen. So this is going to be in line with that history that we've established in the South. So this is something that I'm looking forward to. So a young man, his name is LaRussell, out of Vallejo, California.
My man Vernon said, I got to lean.
Yeah, so this is something I've been looking forward to because I heard about him a few months ago, actually, when he started to let people invest in his art. So he kind of sells shares of his music as like almost stock. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy equity in a song. We'll elaborate on it later on, but that was dope. And then I found out that he actually has a campaign where he does a variety of different stuff, like merch, shows, different things of that nature, and there's no set price on it. Mm-hmm. You pay whatever you want to pay. So that was interesting.
Proud to pay.
Yes. Then he's going viral for a lot of these songs. Get to that bag.
Go get that bag.
I had the roll. Yeah. I just got to get my hopscotch right.
I seen you.
It's looking a little rough, but
I'm gonna have to do the tutorial on YouTube. Get y'all right.
That's gonna go viral.
It's 2-1-2-1. All right, I'm gonna get it.
You gotta get the dice roll. Started with it. Yeah.
And then he's been wearing these Crocs. I've been seeing the Crocs. I pay attention to everything.
I told him I was disappointed. If he didn't come today with them, I'd have been disappointed.
Yeah.
They part of the whole ambiance.
Come on.
So we're joined by him and the head of everything.
CEO Walker.
Tieta. And this is a dope conversation because they're building a brand organically. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things that come with that. Social media, marketing, learning about the distribution of music and business and all that happening in real time. So it's a dope conversation for independent artists, but it's also a dope conversation for entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. for content creators, for anybody that's looking to grow a brand. And I think that is something that a lot of people is going to gain value from, something I'm excited about. So thank you for joining us, first and foremost.
Thanks. Yes, we are honored to be here.
All good. So let's...
Tieta said this is on her vision board.
It was last year.
It was on the vision board.
Talking about manifestation.
There it is.
You've manifested
it. Time has come.
So, all right, where does this start? So, you got a buzz now. Your album's about to drop. You're moving. People know who you are in the streets. But where's the origin of this?
Yeah, so, man, 2018, I dropped my first project, which was called The Field Effect. And I was, like, my first offering as a solo artist to the world. And, the response from it just locally was like that was also the first time that my pops like heard my music in a way where not just like through the door, but like, hey nigga, check this out, right? You feel me? So he starts sharing it with his homies and everything, and I had it gave me an insane boost of confidence, and I was like, I'm finna throw a show. I've never performed before, ever. Never did a show, but I was
how
like,
how many followers did you have?
Probably like 1,000, if that, a couple hundred. But I was like, I'm finna rent out the theater, and you know where I stay, and I'm finna throw a show. And we did it, and it brought out probably like 75, 80 people. But it was like my first time performing, and my first time like taking that leap in investment. Like I used my own bread. My pops went half with me to rent the theater, and we got food and merch and everything. And that was kind of like the spark in the journey of like, I want this. You feel me?
All right, so this the theater's in Vallejo.
Yep.
Shout out to Vallejo. So how did we get to that point, right? Like, because you're growing up, there's awesome musical influences. Obviously, we know E-40's from there. But what made you decide that, you know what, music's going to be my route? Because a lot of people think, all right, I'll do it with music. But you had a certain level of belief in yourself. I can see it. Everybody can feel it. So how did you get to that point?
I just enjoyed it. I was always writing as a kid. Like since I was like 7 or 8, I was writing like poetry and just notes, thought. I write everything till this day. All of my thoughts, ideas, I just write a lot. So I've always had a passion for it. And just through that, I start kind of, one of my homies got a laptop in middle school and we start making beats. I start learning how to produce, making beats for people and selling them. Then I start rapping over my own beats. High school, I end up battle rapping. I was rapping a long time. And someone asked me to battle. They didn't know I could rap. You feel me? Because I wasn't rapping publicly. I was just kind of in my lane. But I was like, I'll do it. You feel me? And I did it. Killed it. You feel me? It was a moment at school. It was like, I killed it, right? And that gave me that confidence to kind of like put shit out and share it and now put more into the world. And after I graduated, I ended up having my daughter. So I went straight to working, but I was always kind of dabbling in music, just doing it in the background and stuff and just slowly building, you know. And then eventually it got to the point where I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to put out an album.
So, all right. So when do you establish Good Company? Good Company, right?
Yeah. So my first logo of Good Company has like an estimated 2017 date on the logo. So that was the first I thought of the name and was like, ah, I like this. Let me see where I go. And then I was like, just shooting videos for people and just kind of shooting my own videos, recording my own songs. And eventually it kind of grew and scaled. And in 2019 is when we start doing a lot more work, because like me and a homie start putting out more music. Like Tessie, I end up doing a project with her and we release hers, and we didn't have nobody to shoot our content. So you feel me? I always had cameras and learned how to edit and shoot. So we start shooting our own, and under that imprint, it was like everything was releasing under Good Company. It was just easier than to have her page here, my page here, they page here, you know. We put it under one collective. And when the pandemic hit, the company really grew because we started doing live performance sessions for like hella different artists in the Bay. It started off with just me trying to have content for all my songs, but we end up helping so many different artists in the Bay that the platform just kind of grew and took off.
So the people were coming to you to shoot content for them.
Yeah. I mean, coming to me early on, I was going to the artists that I liked. I was just hitting the one, hey, bro, I like this song. Pull up. I got a stew. I want to shoot this. I'm going to put it out. It was just as simple as that. And then eventually, yeah, people started hitting us to kind of come on the platform.
Yeah. I feel like where you're from, and this is a valuable lesson, is like people say, like, how do I get hot? And the first thing is like, get hot where you are.
Yeah.
Right? So get hot where you are. And like when I listen to your story, I can feel the Nipsey influence in it.
Come on.
Right? I don't know. I mean, you could talk to it a lot more, but I could just feel it from the Proud to Pay to the Power of Independence. Now you're saying like, I'm shooting content for people, like you're doing everything.
Yeah.
How big of an influence did he play in your musical journey?
Man, Hyper. When I came up, you know, with the Proud to Pay thing, like that's his system that we've just kind of revolutionized. I was riding my bike one day and I was like, how the hell can I do that, but in my way? Because, you know, he did a $100 album. And I was like, I don't know too many niggas with $100 around me, so that ain't gonna work. But I was like, but how can I still get people to kind of like invest and spend that money? And my idea was just like, I'm not gonna put a price. I'm gonna just let them, whatever you got, $5 is better than $0. You feel me? I'd rather make five than make none. So it was like, let me just allow people to decide that and let them do their thing. And then eventually it just scaled up. Instead of just, all right, let people give you a dollar, scale to the offer based side, where it was like, okay, let me have a say in who gets to come and experience this as well. But you know, make people really think. Like we started doing offer based merch. And when we started, my boy Taz, who helped build the website and the system, we had a, like when you log on, it had a minimum price entered. And I noticed a lot of people was just entering that price because it existed. So I hit them and I was like, bro, put that shit at $1,000. Like, make them choose. Make them decide what it's worth.
Make the minimum $1,000?
Yeah. Not the minimum, but the default price that shows up when you click. Yeah. I was like, make it $1,000 so people have to make a decision. Because we know you're not going to pay $1,000, but now you got to delete it and put your own amount in. Mm. Right? And when we did that, we noticed people start actually, they got to think about it. They like, okay, this is a hoodie. I like hoodies. I can't get a hoodie for $5 nowhere else. Let me give them at least one, you know? Mm-hmm. It start provoking that thought. And it just grew from there.
T, when did you get involved in the company?
Man, May of last year, I think. Like, yeah, May.
How? Like, what was your involved? Like, how did the conversation start? How'd you meet?
So I was actually working at a local platform out there at the time, and I found him, and I was like, "Bruh, you are so." I was actually at A&R at the time, so I was supposed to be finding local talent, but I wasn't really finding anything I loved. Found him, and I was like, "Bruh, you are so raw, like." I don't know why. I think you had like 3,000 followers at the time, or something like that. And I was like, why are you not like bigger? He had like a couple, like 50 views on his YouTube videos. So I was like, I work at this platform. I want to make sure you get on there, give you as much exposure as possible. So yeah, I got his information. I got him on there a couple times. And then he hit me and was like, I'm actually releasing an album if you want to hear it. Let's like grab lunch, you know, just like talk game. And we've been two peas in a pod ever since.
No, that's dope. So, all right, so let's get into this business conversation. let's start, since you talked about the offer-based model. What is it? Offer-based model, that's what you call it?
Yep.
All right. So you do the offer-based for your music?
Music, merch, shows.
Music, merch, and
life.
Shows. that's like the main three, music, merch, and shows, yeah, right?
Well, we do these community brunches where people can come in and a whole community can eat and they pay what they want. Like, we just buy out the restaurant and let them pay whatever they want for their meal, or they can just eat for free because, yeah, you know, I don't care and do whatever.
All right, so let's talk about each one individually. So the merch, okay. So you're selling hoodies, t-shirts,
yeah, like that. Gibbets. I sell books. Concert footage, albums, books
on the merch site.
Yep. Mm.
So, like, what's the average price that somebody usually pays?
It depends on what the product is. So, like, for an album, on average, probably like $10-$15. But then, like, you always have those people who go far beyond. They'll pay $100, and then some people pay just $1. Hoodies average is about $15-$20. Tees is about $10-$12.
And the album, they are getting like a physical album, or is it just digital?
A digital album.
Digital. Yeah. But that's a lot better than like, but you sell your, is it on Apple Music as well?
Yeah, so what we do, I usually sell it like 2 or 3 weeks prior to it releasing the streaming. And I'll usually do like the first 50 to 100 people to buy the digital album prior, I'll give them a percentage of that album.
So they buy the album, but can they also buy the songs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like after on iTunes and shit?
No, I'm saying like, can, like,
from you?
From you. So like, if you put out the single before you put out the album, is that an
interest? I don't usually sell singles.
Okay.
I sell just bodies of work. Like, yeah. Singles is still like a new thing that I'm even getting into, releasing singles. I'm an album guy.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about the equity. Explain that. Like, when people, they can buy a part of, it was like publishing, masters? Like, how does that
the
work?
Master. So master. The streaming revenue that's generated through the distro, mm-hmm. basically you have 100% of it when you release a song. And I start finding out, I had watched a clip, there's a manager, his name is Ty, Brent Fire's manager. Mm-hmm. And I had watched a clip and he was talking about splits.
Hey, listen, everybody, this is your man Steve Harvey. My partners over at Earn Your Leisure, they are kicking off their first Invest Fest World Tour on October 31st.
I got my gun on me, I'm with Achilles. I got my gang on the hunt for the spinach. You say up and I've come for the finish. Run up when you, I'm in your city.
It will be, get a load of this, at the Royal Albert Hall in London, England. This year's speakers list include Earn Your Leisure, Terrence J, Wall Street Trapper, Eon Dunlap, my business development director, Tabiti Stevens, 19 Keys, and many, many more. Get your tickets before they are gone at investfesteuro.com.
And I was like, it sent me through a whirlwind because I was distroing music, but I wasn't splitting everything because I didn't know, you feel me? So it was like, oh shit, I need to go back through. So I found a distro that allowed me to do splits, and I started splitting the pie with like the music video directors, my team who helped shoot, if you record, if you slate, if you do audio, the producers, my engineers, right? And then eventually we got to a point where I was like, man, bro, the people who listen to the music and make this shit blow up, they should be able to have equity in this. And just as a fan, I feel like that's some dope shit. If you love a song and you're able to go buy a percent, you know, because like the stock market is like hyper confusing. Like, you buy stock in Microsoft, but you don't know them niggas. Like, you don't see them, you don't see what they doing, you really don't know. Yeah. Versus me, they see me going viral every day. So yeah, it's like, I love that song, this is an easy call, right? So it just, I start just allowing people to buy percentages of that 100% from the distro revenue.
So it actually incentivizes them, right? Because completely, the people that are going to make it go viral are the people that own it.
Right.
They play the song every day. Yeah. Now when you play it, you get paid.
If he win, you
That's
win.
That's a win-win. I'm all, they already support me. So now it's like, bro, I'm getting paid to listen to this shit. I'm getting paid to go to the shows. You feel me? Like, right, eventually your streaming revenue will cover your offer for the concert. And, you know, we also released a gold card membership, which is like the first artist membership. And with our gold card membership, any event that we throw, you can come to for free. I don't care if I'm in an arena, if I'm whatever. If my company throws it, you can come absolutely free. And it adds you to a split list. So when I drop projects, I just add certain people. They get percentages because they own a gold card.
How much is the gold card?
It's offer based.
Yeah.
How much is it worth to you?
So what is the percentage of splits that's left up for the people to purchase it, right? Because obviously there's a bunch of people that
I have some songs where I've given away every. So what I first did before I start selling splits, me and Tope did an album called Cook Together, Eat Together, and I gave away the equity of that entire album to different people who helped me along my journey, different fans who I used to always see in the comments. We just gave all of the percentages away to different people. And then eventually we got to the point where it was like, okay, we should sell equity because this is worth something. This is into perpetuity. Like, people hate the word perpetuity because labels use it nasty, but I love perpetuity. I like forever money. You feel me? So it's like into perpetuity. And yeah, like with the split.
That's the feeling. I want to come to you because you are the CEO of all things, right? And when you're putting essentially merchandise, because we know a thing or two about that, for people to pay at any point they want, like at some, you got to make the merchandise.
Yep.
So how do you balance that, right? Because you don't want to go into debt.
Hey man,
right?
No such thing.
You can't lose
when you trust the people. Like, people scared to trust. When I first decided to do that, my pop used to be in my ear. He's like, "Nah, you gonna look." I'm telling you, you can't do that because this the production called this thing. And I used to be like, "Trust me." So one day he told me he was watching during the show. He said he was sitting there with notes. He's watching everyone who comes up to the booth and pay because he's like, "I'm finna prove to you, you losing."
Mm-hmm.
And he realized some people come and pay $1 or $5. But then there's four people who came and paid $100. The production cost of the hoodie was only $10. So everybody who paid $1 got subsidized by the people who paid $100. Like, the people going to always take care of you. And my whole thing from the jump was like, I use merch for marketing. So my goal was like, even if I only make $1 off each, mm-hmm. my plan was to sell a million. $1 million ain't never bad. It don't matter. That's never a bad thing. You feel me? And that was my goal. The goal wasn't to profit hella. The goal was to be able to market. That's if everyone can buy it and everyone can wear it, you have the whole world as your marketing now. If only 100 people could buy it, you only got 100 people marketing your shit.
Very true.
This is true.
Okay. And you said something. You said you press out the merch in the house.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I had a moment. I had quit my job in 2019, right? And I had like a 401k check and a little bit bread from taxes and shit, right? And I end up running low on bread. So I had got my car repossessed. And in that moment, I could have either went and got my car or I could have bought the production equipment to make my merch. And I decided to invest in presses and vinyls and all that. And it was the best investment I ever made. And we end up basically building the whole merch production system from the garage.
So
now we ship out merch globally.
So who works it?
The team?
Man, there's several. So all of my homies kind of come in and intertwine. But initially starting, it was me, Yaya, Tessie, Millie.
Your friends?
Yeah, all the homies, my sisters, my mom and my pops. My daddy get off work, press some shit up. My mom drop everything off to the post office every morning and do her delivery. So it's just the homies and the family.
So, I mean, that's a great operation.
Come on.
Yeah, we track. So my thing is, like, a lot of people, and, you know, they say to us, how do y'all work with family, right? I feel like, from your experience, how has that been? Has there been any negative, like, things that have happened because you work with family, or certain things you can't get across because they don't understand the vision, or has it been a smooth transition, you know, obviously seeing you as a young man, now as an artist, as an entrepreneur, and a CEO?
I don't think necessarily it's been any bad, because I've always been willing to do everything myself. So everything else is additive. Like, you know, when we started, I was down there pressing merch. I'll do it. I'll spend hours down there making mm-hmm. sure it happened. And I'm still like that till this day. I'm willing to do it if someone else doesn't want to do it. And but the whole family benefits from it. Everybody understands what's growing and what's bubbling. Everybody is a benefactor of this being successful. So it's an easy call.
Yeah. So we got the music's being made there, the merch is being made there.
Mm-hmm. And now we got a residency in the backyard.
So we got the residency in the backyard.
Yeah.
So what sparked the vision to build the stage back there, man? Because it looks dope.
Man, it's lovely, right? I love that place. It's beautiful. Man, I had did a show at a venue and prior to us going to do the show, the owner had called, and he was just on some bullshit, like skeptical, because it was a Proud to Pay show. It was like, nah, people gonna pay what they want. We gonna do this door split. This is how we do it. This is how I do my shows. And he was like, well, I don't know if it's gonna be successful. And I damn near canceled the show because, like, I don't like people. I don't like to do business with anybody doubting me, right? But we went on to do it, and it was successful. And he seen that back end of it. But by that time, I was just like, bro, I don't want to deal with that no more. And I don't like nobody being able to tell me no. So to get rid of that, I was like, I'm going to just build my own venue. Now we don't have to deal with it at all. We don't have to ask. We don't have to wait for nobody to tell us what date they got available. I could schedule some shit tomorrow, and that's what we're going to do.
So you got the residency at your residence.
Yep.
Right.
How often do you do shows there?
So we started this year. We did four so far, and we do one each month.
One each month.
Okay. But when it gets cold, it might.
So we just did the last one in September.
Okay.
So my goal is to do them each year from April to October, and then when it gets cold, we're going to be doing a bunch of different styles of this residency, like this museum style piece, and then we're going to do like some candlelight shit. So we're just kind of altering it as the season change into different styles of events.
And that's in your backyard?
That's in the backyard.
Yeah. So that's all right. So this is your parents' house, right?
Yep.
So do they have any reservations about having 300 people in their backyard?
Man, look at what we building. Like, why? What, you feel me? This is something. This is history. I don't think anybody got reservations about making history. They understand what's being built. This has never been done before. You never want to be the nigga in the way of history. You know, everybody's on board.
Say that again. That is a fact. I ain't never heard nobody say that, but that is a fact.
Don't be that.
Come on, don't be that. Don't be that.
So, speaking of that, right? Like, obviously, I've seen a bunch of the shows. I mean, you have fences. There's neighbors there. How do they react to
them? The homies, man. So I've been on that block. I grew up on that block. My neighbors be in the backyard. They be over the fence. They supporting. They know what we building. Like they the homies. And I mean, we building equity for the whole block.
That's true, because it becomes like, I mean, it's not a tourist attraction, but this is the venue.
Bro, this is a monument. Yeah.
So you got like porta potties?
Yep, we got porta potties, pops cooking, and so the whole garage gets switched around, and you go eat.
That's what I was going to say. It might even be better than some concerts. At least I know when I go to yours.
Oh, man, it's 10 times better.
Like, I saw the trays of food.
Fed, and it's all free. Like, once you pay your offer ticket, you ain't got to pay for nothing else. You can eat as much as you want. As much as you want, and it's the good porta potties, not the kinds that smell like it's sink in these luxury porta potties. You feel me? It's a great experience, and you get to chill with moms and the family and smoke. And we got a jumper outside for the kids. You could toss them kids and go on about your day. You don't even have to worry about it.
The most important thing is, like, what would we want for our fan experience to be? I don't want to use that nasty porta potty, so why would I make them use it? You know, like, I want to bring my kids, but they be acting up. Have a jumper, you know, like whatever you would want, provide that for them.
So, yeah, from the standpoint of content, right? Like, some of the you're not always performing in front of people, but you're always performing.
I'm always performing,
right? And so I'm watching a lot of shows. It's just you up
rehearsal,
there.
Yeah.
It's you and there's a camera.
Yeah.
So you're the camera.
Yep.
So, like, what is that like? Right, watching history being made and being part of it.
Man, it's exciting. It's exciting. I love it. I already knew I wanted to work in videography, and then being able to work with somebody like him, a visionary, and I love his music. So, like, if you ever come to a show, which y'all gotta come, you'll see me. People always say it, like, I'm rapping every single word to every single song. Like it's my show. It's our show.
Come on, come on, talk your shit.
So for the residency, there is a floor, right? Like, there's a minimum that you have to pay for residency.
No, not necessarily. No? So we choose a range. Like, we do a bunch of first come, first serve, because it's like, bro, y'all got here first. Let them in, and then we'll sort high, low, and then we'll just take some from this end, the middle. We have thousands. I got enough offers to do this show for the next 10 years.
So the way your career is going, you're going to be traveling and doing shows domestically, overseas. Do you think that you could continue this model at different, because like you said, some venue, especially as the bigger the venue.
I'm happy you asked.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
So, we're building something now where, like, I'm taking this offer-based residency style show on the road. Like, previously, I didn't have a big amped to tour because I couldn't do it the way I want. Like when I tour, I want people to be able to eat and have a good experience and get the same experience they get there, but everywhere else. But it's like when you tour and you work with these promoters and you're doing door deals and got to do $15 ticket, you're not making enough to do this. So we're creating a system right now, an actual tech to back the offer-based tour. So we're creating the first offer-based ticketing platform, Ticketmaster, but ethical. You feel me?
The ethical Ticketmaster.
The first offer-based version where you could literally go online, put in your offer, how many tickets you want. It goes to a portal. We either accept or reject. You get sent your invite. So we're taking this style on the road. And eventually, we're going to open up to where everyone could do offer-based shows. And you don't have to do standard tickets because it's like you guys do InvestFest and things like that. Imagine if it was offer-based and no set ticket price. Some of these people who come to y'all shows, y'all change their lives. They'd be willing to pay thousands. Way more than whatever is the price set. You feel me? Like you just, you, I've been able to make more money off a show than artists who are 10, 20 times my size because I have real people who really support me that I've changed their lives.
Or it could be also a thing where even if you do have a set ticket price, you could have a offer price as well. Like it's like, let's say the ticket price is $100, but then you could have like an offer price. Cause like you said, somebody might want to pay more.
That doesn't work because then people rely on the set price. Like he was saying with merch, like when you set a price, that's what they think the value of that ticket is. They'll always choose that. They don't even think for themselves like, oh, well, I want to pay this or I could pay this. They just go with what it is. That way they can get their ticket.
But, so the goal is put it at 5,000. Right. Let them start thinking like,
or yeah, or leave it blank. Like, I mean, I'm just really into getting people to like really process what your value is, not your price. You know, your price is the cost of something. Your value is different. And people associate those two. But with what we building, it's like, nah, offer me something based on how valuable I am or what this is worth to you. Not what you think the price is.
What's going on, Ernest? Look, at 26, I made one of the most important decisions of my life. That's right. I didn't have family at the time, but I did have a life insurance policy. A wise man told me life insurance isn't about the people who die. It's about the people who live. It's one of the best ways to secure generational wealth for your family's future. And it makes perfect sense why people get life insurance, especially term coverage, which surprisingly is affordable. Why not pay a little bit each month to secure the future of the people you love long term? If you're asking yourself that question, I want you to check out Ladder. Ladder makes it impressively fast and easy to get coverage. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's algorithms work instantly, so you'll know right away if you're approved for coverage. No hidden fees, and you can cancel any time. And since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to get started. So check out Ladder today to see if you're instantly approved. Go to ladderlife.com/EYL. That's LADDER life.com/EYL. That's ladderlife.com/EYL. You know how this works. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Secure your family's future right now.
So what's the, who you working with to build? Like you got app developers?
Yeah. So man, we're working with a dope black owned tech company called West TBA. And we just start building with them. Ibrima, man, shout out to Ibrima, man. He's incredible. He's black and he's a tech guy. And he just built, the system is already built. We're actually in beta. And man, we about to launch fairly
you
soon.
Got a name for it?
It's called TBA. West TBA.
Oh, TBA.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
If you go like to try to go to his show that he's throwing in October.
So you can actually use it right now for the show that we have. For the 8th and see how it works and everything. But yeah, we're going to be launching, you know, we're using this first right now to do our tours, but eventually we're going to open it so where everyone, like I feel like everyone should be doing offer based shows, like setting a ticket
shows,
price is just
events,
like
everything.
Yeah, like, for everything.
If you want to throw like a brunch, if you want to do InvestFest, if you want to do a show, if like anything that you want to do, you should be able to do it offer
based. I just have this amazing idea for you.
You never know what your shit is worth to somebody else.
Because you got the residency, right?
Yeah.
But you got a bunch of fans throughout the world.
Everywhere.
So imagine if you got to do it in their backyard.
Listen.
Oh, we already started that. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We
did an announcement and we built a whole repertoire of just people who,
we come to
like,
your house.
Who are willing to host us.
That's what we're going to be doing.
They sent pictures. They told
us.
That
way we don't have to deal with the venues. We pulling up with our own equipment. We shooting our own stuff. We bringing our own food. Pa's going to be cooking it. But it's like we come to your spot and this is how we doing it.
Well, I was going to ask you about the, because that's another part. The venues is a part of it. Because some venues, they only are Ticketmaster. Like,
yep. Like, we ain't got to deal with them because we got the people. It's way more people than venues.
So you play. So the events that you're going to be doing, right, it's just like at event spaces and then people, what's the model? You want to do it at people's houses?
So we have a list of people who own event spaces, who have huge backyards. Like, we got people who hit us with hella land.
Well, I'm about to say, you might have some millionaire, like Rick Ross.
Bro, right? Yeah, we have people who hit us with that, who just got land, who got restaurants, who got event spaces. They got, they just like, hey, bro, we love you. Come, you can use whatever you want of ours. And we built a whole list of the, you know, people from all over the world has tapped in.
And it's beneficial on both ends.
How'd you build that database? How'd you even
I just announced it on Instagram. We created a Google form. So Tieta has created Google Forms, man. So when I used to work in aerospace, I learned how to use Excel. And I use Excel sheets for everything. So we end up making Google Forms for all these different things. So I had announced that we're trying to do this residency worldwide. Send in, fill out the form, wherever your location, put your info. So now we have an entire database of just different people, locations. They got pictures of their spots. So we can kind of go, I can go any city in the world and we can find somewhere to throw a show.
As long as people live there and they got electricity, you should be good.
Well, we bring generators. They don't even need electricity. We bring our own generators.
As long as they got space.
We just need space. That's it.
And you got to rent it from them, or they just offering it?
They're offering it. But what I'm going to do is, like, so the ticket platform that we're building a split system on the back end. The same way we split up equity with music, we're building that to where I could just allocate splits of the revenue from these shows to different parties, because eventually I'm going to allow fans to invest in shows. So if they want to invest in, we're like, hey, we're going to do this arena, and they want to invest, they can invest in exchange for a percentage of the revenue that comes from that show in total.
What you're saying is, you're bringing up a lot of good points here, as far as collecting data. A lot of people collect data. They think data collection is only phone numbers and emails. Mm. But there's so much stuff. Like, you don't know, like, who's following you. You don't know the kind of resources that the people like.
Right.
Even us. Like, we got 1.2 million followers on Instagram. Who, we don't really know
what they all have.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what they're willing to offer right. us. Like, we could potentially have, like, Buckingham Palace. Like, you never know. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you don't know that until you run into somebody.
Until you ask for it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but previously, it would be like you have to have a physical interaction, or because people might not necessarily just offer it.
Yeah.
But then when you ask, and then you have a system, man, then it's like you never know.
Google Forms.
We just built in, like, so we built an instrumentalist repertoire as well. So my violinist, his name is Michael Prince. He's from Texas. He's 21. I had did a shout and said, hey, fill out this form. If you play an instrument and you're dope. We went through. I found Michael Prince. He did my last show in the backyard. He's exceptional. Went to school. He's exceptional. Now he does shows with us. He's the one playing in Tulsa. He mm-hmm. brought us the trumpet. So, like, we do things like this where I'm building databases for everything. The next one is videographers. I'm building a whole database of just adult videographers. So we're really seeing who our followers actually are and what they have to offer versus them just being a number.
And what we can offer them, which is out, like, I think that's what makes our fan experience so great. It's like, it's not one-sided. It's not just them blindly supporting us and, you know, helping build up this company. We also offer it back. Like, when we went to Washington just now, we sent out an announcement like, hey, we're here. We want to work with the locals. Like, mm-hmm. whoever is here that's building something, we want to come and support it with his face. Like, he has that
Tulsa
following.
Tulsa, so we gave percentages of the revenue from that Tulsa album. We released the live album to streaming, and we gave percentages of revenue to AJ Johnson at Oasis. Is market to Kelsey from the collective, to the org that threw the festival, Steph Simon, and then I split the rest between my DJ, keyboardist, instrumentalist. So we split that pie up with the people who were involved. There's no artist going and doing your festival and giving you the you money. Feel me
right.
money,
giving you money on the back end
from it.
This is different.
It is different. Come on. It's not the same.
It is totally not the same.
I knew he's going to do it. As soon as I said, I
fuse
you up.
Come on.
I knew he's going to do it. So, CEO of all things. This is a company, and we're sharing splits, so that means money's going out. Are we having, how transparent are we with the numbers with the people? Like, are we having quarterly reports? Because, like, we see that obviously with Fortune 500 companies and companies in the stock market, there's quarterly reports or there's bi-weekly reports. How transparent are you with the audience when it comes to the numbers?
So I handle the splits, and basically through the distro portal, yeah. The distro shows you, you could click whatever song you have, and they show you, distros report data every 3 months. Mm. So they show you how many times the song streamed, what amount was generated, and what your percentage is worth of that.
So they got a username.
It's automatic. Yeah, they have a login, they go it. In, and they can see their reports. You can export a CSV file or Excel, whatever. Yeah.
So you're doing the proud to pay on the you're doing the, all right. So the events, you got that. What about music? You have plans to do that for music? Because now you're doing it with music, but you also have music on Apple and Spotify. Apple and Spotify still control the whole situation. So do you have plan to revolutionize that with your own streaming service, where now you can actually pay?
Not necessarily. Because I sell music direct as well. So like, you can get music from me without having to go through.
But it might be Apple or Spotify. It might be a good idea because. It might be a good idea because there might be a lot of other artists, like what you're just describing. You're building a platform for people that anybody can use, a new Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. But what if you built the new, we might have to take this part out of the interview out, but what if you built the new streaming service?
Like the new title in yeah. a way, but the ethical title.
Yeah. And now any artist can come on the platform. And, you know, now it's like, you know, you could pay whatever you want for the music and then you just take a percentage off of that. And that's like a new way to stream music.
I think you kind of take a loss a little bit because you make money per stream. And it's like, how would you charge people whatever they want to pay every time they stream that song? You know, you kind of lose on the forever part of streaming. Hmm. If they only have that one time payment of like pay whatever I want up front. I think that's why we do both sides.
But like when I'm logged into Apple Music, like I have a subscription, but I could pay $1.99 just one time and I have that song forever. Right. Mm-hmm. So what if I just paid $100 for a song?
And right,
song
whatever forever? You wanted on there.
Yeah.
I think that's a genius idea. I mean, my thing is like.
Everyone has an opinion when it comes to the foods we eat. This food's good for you. This one's bad for you. This diet works best. But who actually has the right answer? You don't need rules to lose weight. You just need proper information to build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom is here to change the way we view food by not only looking at what we eat, but also how we eat. Instead of making you feel guilt, Noom empowers you to keep going. Not everyone wants to be on a strict diet, do 5 days a week at the gym, or have a daily smoothies and questionable teas. Noom uses a psychology-based approach to find healthier balance that's more suitable for your life and, as a result, more sustainable. Look, Noom has already influenced the way I shop for food, which has not only saved me money, it's also given me a clearer understanding of the foods I'm consuming, which has made me sharper and more energetic. You have to try it out. Look, there are no food restrictions in the program, which makes the process more flexible for your lifestyle. Everybody's journey is different. Noom believes in progress, not perfection. 75% of Noom users finish the program, and more than 60% of users engaged with the program keep the weight off for a year or even more. With Noom, all you need is a daily 10-minute check-in. No grueling early mornings or huge chunks out of your day. Are you ready to start building better habits for healthier, long-term results? Sign up for a Noom trial at Noom.com/leisure. That's Noom.com/leisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
I'm not pressed on doing it. If another nigga want to do it, go do it. You feel me? I'm not pressed on doing it.
And like, we still get that stream of income regardless from Apple, Spotify.
Nah, I just thought about it. I just randomly thought about it in my mind right now. Cause I'm like, you got the idea. That's a great idea for Ticketmaster. What about doing the same thing for music?
I think we could try. Yeah, like, I
think that's a way. I don't be trying to save and change the world in all aspects, you know, just in the ones that I'm like, this is really, you know, something, because it's a lot, you know, it's a lot to dive into once you get into
these spaces.
And it
don't even be like intentional to change things. It just be like, well, I didn't enjoy this, so I want to do it my way. And then we figure out a system of doing it our way. Like building the ethical Ticketmaster wasn't on purpose. It was just like, well, we were doing it. They were filling out that Google form, and then I linked the Google form to the Google Sheets, and then we were going through every single offer,
manually
color coordinating them, sending out single emails, and then sending out single text messages to every single person. Like,
how many offers did you get
Over the span of the four shows? Thousands. Like, I think we almost hit like 5,000.
Just this last show for October 8th, we've got about 1,000 offers for this one show.
So what's the vetting? So you got to see if it's legit. Because people might just say anything. Like,
well, we'll send out all the offers. It doesn't matter. Like, somebody sent out the very last show, somebody sent out a $4,000 offer for a ticket.
No, I mean, as far as the offering for like the land, or like you can use my house. How do you verify, like, this is actually somebody that
So if we're interested, we'll email or call and talk to them. And, I mean, I'm somebody who, if I talk to you, I can smell bullshit, right? Real fast. So it's just as simple as that. Like, we've had some that reach out and it's like,
show, right?
Yeah, so we end up doing a show in Sac at this place called Estate Farms. It's a black-owned farm out there, and they got a bunch of land. We end up going there to do one of our Hometown Hero shows. They provided the space and the home for us to do. We brought out food trucks and stuff like that, and it was just like, it was real. We seen the space, we called, and it was like, yeah, it's that energy. We know what's up. Let's go.
No, it's a good idea. I mean, because people have a lot of stuff. Like,
if people have a lot to offer.
Yeah, they do.
People have a lot to offer, and it's like, we have millions of followers, and they have a lot to offer. That's why with this offer-based shit, like, if an artist like Drake or Cole or Kendrick was to do it, they make billions. Like, the label can't run you what millions of people can.
Right.
It's different. You feel me? When you go to the people, it's different. It's like, I'm doing it at this scale, and I'm killing it. One of them do it.
Earn Your Leisure is supported by First Republic Bank. Have you ever experienced a relationship with a banker who was available to answer all your questions, even by phone or email? Doesn't exist, you say? It does at First Republic. At First Republic, everyone gets a personal banker who's ready to sit down and answer your questions, no matter how complex. And did you know that First Republic's commitment to extraordinary service extends beyond its clients? First Republic is committed to strengthening the communities it serves through meaningful partnerships with innovative nonprofit organizations. To learn more, visit firstrepublic.com. That's firstrepublic.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Yeah, I read, maybe this is not true, that the goal is to be what Drake is to mainstream. Like, you want to be the independent artist that becomes as popular as Drake. So I'm wondering, at this point, I'm sure labels are watching what you're doing.
For certain.
I'm sure they're putting roadblocks in a way to try to, you know.
Or they might be putting offers.
They put offers.
Roadblocks, and then I'm sure there's a bunch of offers, but you're almost, in a sense, like the poster guy.
I can't be blocked.
For independence.
I can't be
blocked. How could they block you from the people?
I don't use their systems. I don't use they said they. I can't be blocked. Like, I don't use none of their systems. We have our own distros that we work with directly. We don't use the major system. And it's like platforms like this. Y'all, it's like, hey, bro, I'm pulling up on them. I don't use their. We create our own content. We have our own live performance platforms. Like, we really don't have to go through their systems for nothing.
Yeah.
There is no block. I'm in my backyard. If they stop any motion, I'm just going to go in the backyard. I'm good.
Every block, it feels like, has created a new idea to revolutionize the system, so we can't be blocked.
What are some that some real... like
The venue, for one. Yeah. So, like, the venues are a block that's just like, well, I don't want to deal with that. I want to be able to do it my way. So we built our own venue.
Yeah.
I want to be able to own them. Right. I want to be able to do proud to pay ticketing. So we built the Google Forms.
Now
we built the ticket platform, you know, right. Like...
Ticketmaster don't
stop.
Let you put everything on their site. So now
right.
We built our own shit.
Right.
And you could pay for tickets in a way that we created and revolutionized.
It would be in their best interest to not block us.
Have the offers come?
Yeah, plenty.
Have you ever been tempted?
Definitely. I mean, when you see money. Would you ever?
Because, I mean, I'm always a fan of collaboration. And I feel like, you know, if you got leverage, it may not necessarily be a bad thing to use somebody else's platform to grow your platform.
Not at all. And if it makes sense and it's right, like, we currently have a partnership with NPR Global with J.R. McKee, which is a 50-50 profit split, and we're just building. Like, they're doing what they do best, we're doing what we do best, and we're rising. We have another partnership with Russ, which is another 50-50 profit split. He's doing what he do best,
we do what we do best. The rapper Russ?
No, I'm not against doing deals at all. I'm against doing bad deals, and it just happened. Every deal that comes from a label to us is a bad deal. Like, bro, it don't even make no sense when you could see somebody doing something so revolutionary and something that you've never seen done and come and be like, hey, let me offer you some bullshit. Like, that's absurd. You feel me?
It makes no sense at all.
They're offering me standard deals like I'm a standard nigga. I don't hear nothing standard. You don't get on EYL from being standard. Right. Why do I have a standard
Mike,
deal? What are we doing?
Super fat. How's the relationship in the independent world? Right? Obviously, you mentioned Russ. And so, are y'all, is that somebody you can rely on? Even when you were coming up, was that somebody, you know, you obviously he's had huge success in the independent game. You're like, all right, I can call on him to get advice in this space. Like, how's
definitely, it man. He was tapped in a little bit early, like when we first kind of started going viral and just being supportive. He put me on one of his shows. He did the Greek Theater, 8,500 people, and put me in. And it's funny, I had hit him. I was like, bro, if I'm gonna do the show, I'm not going on early. Like, I need to come on before you. I want people to be there. And he made it happen, and we killed it. Like, that got me a bunch of exposure. So he's definitely in the mentor role. I could call him and just be like, hey, what you think about this? You feel me? He's going to give me that game. Wallow, Hovain. I've had a bunch of people just Stretch. Johnny Shipe, Stretch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A bunch of people who's really, even if they didn't understand my independence effort, man, just recently Hovain texted me. When I first met Hovain, I was telling him, like, nah, we can't do that. This is what I'm going to do. And he was like, nah, I think, you know, you should go with a label. You a superstar. Yeah. And now he texted me recently. He was like, man, I ain't never seen this shit happen. I believe in anything you say. Nigga, let's go. You feel me? Yeah. So it's been dope to just see the mindset change of what people think is possible as an indie, because people have been indie for a long time, but what we're doing is completely new still. You know, we're creating new things in an industry that existed for hundreds of years.
Yeah, you are a disruptor in the space.
And Come on.
Like, I want to talk about that, because Hovain actually is the one who tells Charlamagne.
Yep.
About you.
Yep.
And then Charlamagne tells the world. And now
Charlamagne tells everyone.
He tells the world. And then now I'm like, wait, who's, and then I watch, I'm like, oh. So like, what was that moment like when that recognition started to grow at a different scale, right? Because then obviously after that you end up on the Breakfast Club.
Yep.
So what was those moments like for you?
Man, a product of the work. I know I'm always going to end up wherever I work. If I take a shovel and start digging, I'm going to get a hole. Like, that's just, so everywhere I get to, I know it's due to my action. I did all the right things to for the right shit to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to take a quote from one of your freestyles.
What's up?
It was a bar.
Come on.
It's
plenty of them.
There's a lot of bars. This is true. But you said, I can't build a house, but I can build wealth. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I like that. Right? So, where did the mindset come from, right? Because I'm hearing independence. I'm hearing, obviously, you're disrupting this game. But where did the mindset start to develop? Was it as a young age or as you became in this game and saw, like, yo, this is not the way. Let me change.
Definitely both. As a youngin', like, my pops was a hustler. Like, he sold everything except drugs. And it was like he always had me in motion, in assembly, or just around where I was witnessing somebody build independent infrastructure. All of his homies worked for, like, you feel me? I seen him put people in positions to win where their life was different after. So I've always kind of witnessed it and experienced it. And he's always been someone where if he gonna do it, he's gonna do it better than everybody else. Like, if he's gonna do it, you're gonna get the package in and the grand and things. So that was always in me. And then getting into this game, I had that chip on my shoulder early because it was like, ain't nobody offering me no reason. Niggas ain't inviting me to come to this shit, so I'm going to do it myself. So I ain't never got to ask. And then once it got to the point where people did start coming in, we have everything now. We've literally built everything, so you got to really offer something substantial. And they don't be talking about shit. Like, honestly, they don't know what they doing. Like, you know, I've gotten calls from a few people that they're like, man, they telling us to watch y'all so we can see how to do kind of do our thing. But it's like, you know, we're setting blueprints for what this is. I haven't seen too many label artists released recently or come out that had like rollouts that I was impressed with, or like doing too many things that I'm impressed by. You feel me? Like, they're just all doing the same thing over and over and over.
So
copy, I mean, and paste.
It's a lot of independent artists that's doing their thing right now, like Toby and the Wick, you know him?
Yeah, Larry June. Yeah.
Is Simba independent?
Simba's not indie.
He's not. Yeah. He's not.
Okay. But yeah, it's a few that's actually like, I like, of course, Russ.
Life Raj. Yeah, it's a few out there.
It's a good vibe right now. But let me ask you this, as far as social media, because that helped you, your campaign a lot. What was the strategy to grow your social media campaign? Like, what's your inner workings in your social media empire that you're building?
Man, that shit has been like level by level. I used to post like probably like once or twice a week. And I was posting like dope content, like live sessions. And I was feeling away because I was talking to my pops. I was feeling like I was doing hella work. I had more content than everybody, but I'm like, man, I'm doing a bunch of work, but a bunch of stuff ain't getting done. Like, I wasn't feeling like I was advancing. And my pops was like, man, you need to post 30 days straight every day. Like, post every day. Let these niggas know you got it, right? And I was like, nah, that ain't gonna work. They just gonna get tired of me, right? But I end up doing it anyway. And after the 30 days, I didn't see a lot of growth. So I was ready to go back to him like, I told you that wasn't gonna work. You don't know, you ain't on social media, yeah. Right? But I end up realizing that it's like a job. You know, when you go to work, you do a bunch of work and you don't get your check till 2 weeks later. In music, you might do a bunch of work and not get your check till 6 months later. Yeah. But eventually that shit hit. And the Wallows start seeing it, and the Meek Mills and the Russes, you know, after that 30-day influx. And then after that, it was just up. We post every day, probably five times a day. I look at it now like being at the batting plate. I'm going to swing this bat as many times as I can. Like, if you only got, they tell you, man, you got 10 minutes. How many home runs can you hit? If you only swing once per minute, you whooping yourself. I'm swinging that shit till my arms fall off. And that's how we look at content. Like, we swinging.
Yeah. That's actually how we ended up going viral. Like, when I met him, I was like, bro, like, give me all your content. I'm going to cut it up. Like, originally, I was like, why you ain't on TikTok? Like, bro, TikTok is where it's at. So I was like, give me all your content. I'm going to cut it up and I'm going to put it on TikTok for you. And I think I was posting on TikTok like three times a day, morning, like evening, or, you know, midday, evening. And I think maybe like my 12th post was the 2021 freestyle, and it went, and it was like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, what are y'all doing?
That was one of them. A lot of people get discouraged because they like, you know, they got to have high level production or video. Like,
nope,
man.
You have a videographer, but you do a lot of cell phone footage. Mm-mm. Just put the cell phone out. What?
We be on the Black Magic.
No, I'm just saying, like, when I just seen you in D.C., like, the president's home.
Oh, yeah.
That's just cell phone footage. Right. You do a lot of that, though.
Yep.
That's just good mix. Pull a cell phone out and just record. I'm here. Yeah. What's going on? Tap in. Da-da-da-da. That's content.
Or, like, even...
And that did, like, 100K views. Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's content. Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why he wasn't on TikTok was because he's like, I don't make TikTok content. Like, I don't want to be one of those TikTok people. And I was like, bro, you don't have to make TikTok content. Just post your content on TikTok.
Just make great content.
He gave it to you freely, and then you were like, all right, once you saw it, did you see the magic? And like, what was that for, like, for you, right? Because now you've got the content.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of it.
Well, I had already seen his live session of Do That Little Dance. That's when I was like, oh, man, right? That was my first introduction. I was like, who it was? The first bar, like, African nigga in a European, I was like, okay, who is he? And then I was telling him, like, bro, give me your content. And he was just playing, like, just wasn't really trying to give it to me. So I pulled up, like, bought a drive, pulled up, and was like, no, I'm about to get this content. And then after that, it was just up.
It's been up.
Yeah.
Then we figured out, you know, just microing things, like taking one interview and taking 10, 20 pieces out of it. Now we got 20 weeks worth of content on interviews, like shows. When I go do a show, I perform an hour set. And I do variations with the pianist and shit. So out of one set, that one Tulsa set, we got about 40, 50 clips.
Breaking down bars.
You're going to be seeing that to the end of next year. You're going to be seeing some of them pieces going viral here and there. And I perform so much. When I say we got thousands of pieces of content, I don't think nobody got more content than us.
You can't out content us.
I saw you give that advice. It is in one of your social media clips. You're like, I'm going to drop at least 10 bars every interview.
Right.
10 bars.
At so least you're going to get some gems.
That's 10 clips.
Right. Yep. And
you got a lot of clips from this interview.
Yeah. We went through all of his, like, his raps. We broke down the, like, favorite bars. How you had, like, quotable bars every single morning. Now we got posts every morning for, like, quotables.
Just a quote or a bar. And those do numbers. That's just building it up. Like we said with TV, if you see me five times a day, I'm family now. You see me more than you see your actual family because you own there. So once you see somebody five, six times a day, it's like, bro, I'm a part of your routine. Mm.
So you like a renegade.
Another one. Another one.
We got the bar counter.
Yeah, Russell did.
So I like you because you seem like you're just doing your own thing. Because I pay attention to everything. I study a lot. And I'm watching, especially these new rappers. And it's a trend to have like five posts on Instagram, eight posts. They post like one, like the last post will be like September of 2021. Like, I see that a lot. Like, it's artists, so like, they don't post, a lot of artists don't, which I'm like, how are they getting so much buzz if they're not even posting on social media?
We realize, like, when they sign, the labels will strip their Instagram, like, oh, we're rebranding you.
Clean it up.
That is so confusing.
They delete all the pictures. Yeah. It's just like, they gotta be a perfect photographer.
Why would you delete what got you the deal? That don't make no sense.
This is the image we're gonna paint for you.
Right, why would you do, and then like, that was the artist that brought you that buzz. Like, those fans love that artist. Mm-hmm. You wanna strip that artist away and rebuild him? That's why they're so disconnected from their fan base when they come out. It's like, I don't even know who he is. He got a chain. He's standing in front of a Ferrari. Like, I thought he was broke. I'm confused. It's all rented. Like, it's not even the same guy.
Listen to the new Audible original, Direct Deposit, What Happens When Black People Get Rich. Hosted by Chad Sanders, the author of Black Magic, What Black Leaders Learn from Trauma and Triumph, and TV writer of Rap Shit. Direct Deposit explores what it takes to get rich and stay rich while black in America. For young black entrepreneurs, Direct Deposit seeks to answer the questions. What's money going to do for me? What's money going to do to me? Chad went from sleeping on a mattress on the floor in a cramped apartment to nearly overnight success after Spike Lee signed on to develop one of his scripts. After becoming more and more successful, Chad has realized that his bank account might change, but the struggle remains. Chad speaks to prominent black figures in American pop culture like Issa Rae, Gabrielle Union, and Soledad O'Brien. Visit audible.com/directdeposit to listen now.
I want to talk about I Hate When Life's Going Great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the title. Let's talk about inspiration behind it, what people can expect when they get it.
Man, this is a classic project. It's genreless, boundless. Another one. You feel me? Just boundless. A lot of new flows, new pockets, new emotions and feelings. The title actually came to me. I ended up making the final track of the album. I completed it, and that was the title of the song. And I was like, man, this is it. We were trying to come up with an album title for so long, and that shit just hit home because, like, I dabble in these spaces of, like, being able to fully be present and enjoy everything that I work for, and also feeling like I'm undeserving or unworthy at times. And it's like, throughout this journey of me succeeding, I've partially not enjoyed it, like hated it at some point, just not even fully understanding of why that is. You feel me? It's some self-sabotage shit. But I feel like a lot of people experience that and feel that feeling. So just hearing the title of the album, it's like you get a connection, because it's like, well, what does this mean? It sits with you in a way because you're understanding of it. You feel me? It's hyperhuman.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people become more open about that imposter syndrome. Like, do I really deserve this? Right. You really worked this hard.
I really worked my ass off. Right.
Yeah. So talk about that imposter syndrome. So that's like you feel like sometimes that you don't deserve it, or like you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, due to however I'm conducting myself in a human space. Like, if I do something that doesn't resonate with my soul well, it'll make me feel like I'm undeserving of my great life. Right? So if I just do something foul that I'm like, that wasn't morally correct, I should have handled that better. For me, it's world ending. It's like, you don't deserve nothing. You're not a great person, right? But that's untrue. But it's like, that's how it feels internally for me.
So how do you manage that?
Man, just living, kind of going. You got to go through it to get through it.
You have a therapist you talk to?
I just recently started therapy, and I be on the fence about it. I be talking, this shit ain't working.
I be on the fence
about it, man. And my brother Fonny, man, he ain't no good. He be like, that nigga said, what he tell me? He was like, I didn't know we needed other niggas to help us out. You feel me? Like, I forgot what he said, but it was something in the line of like, bro, you know what you got to do. Like, nigga, do it. You come here alone and you leave here alone. Like, take care of your business and your problems. But I have went to therapy, and I got mixed feelings. I don't know how well it's working for me.
Full disclosure, he didn't stick with it. He did like 3 sessions.
You gotta know when to quit sometimes.
No, when you
trial run.
He's also hyper intelligent. So like, when I was suggesting it to him, I was
that's
difficult.
Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You seem like you've always been an extremely intelligent person. Were you like a straight A student in school and stuff like that?
No.
So you say you work in aerospace?
Yeah.
So you're like, are you like Mensa? Like, you were like
So like I was I was really I was in like GATE programs early on in school. I was always really smart. I wasn't a straight A student due to just like negligence. I just didn't want to be. I didn't care for it. Like the school wasn't stimulating for me. I was writing raps and shit. And then I started in aerospace. I started on the production floor, but I ended up learning everything, like how to do formulas and how to work the network. They had a system called SAP network and just how to move. I'm really good with numbers and shit. I start moving up and advancing to like the admin side. I was damn near the only one up there with no degree. You feel me? Because I just knew the systems. I knew how to work it. But I was always really smart. I always felt like I was a little bit ahead.
Would you consider yourself a genius?
In some aspects, I think you have to be to create new things in this world, because the world has existed for eons. So for anybody to come and make something new, and I've made several new things, not to flex, but to flex. I've made several things that are new. They didn't exist at all. You feel me? And they now exist. So, I think that takes some genius.
You give me genius vibes.
Who inspires you? Right? Because, I mean, you give me like this. You've been here for a while, type vibe.
So, man, my pops, Steve Jobs, Sim Cooke, Satguru. I really love Satguru. Jason Wilson.
Who's Jason Wilson?
He wrote a book called Battle Cry. He was on Breakfast Club as well. Really great. And Cry Like a Man. Really great author.
I think that's super interesting, right? Because I said who inspired you, right? And you would think from an artist, you might hear Jay. Might have been Nas.
Right.
But I kind of figured that you wouldn't name any of those. Not that they haven't influenced you, but I'm listening to the names you named. I'm like, that's why. Like, there's a it's different.
It's different. Come on.
Well, let me ask you this. As far as growing up, Vallejo, that seems like a urban environment, right?
Yeah.
But you seem like a eclectic type of person who's very intelligent. What was your how was it in high school for you? Did you have a vibe in high school? It seemed like you're a cool dude and like people connect with you, but it seemed like you're probably not interested in what the vast majority of people are interested in.
I mean, I've had my time. You feel me? I've dabbled. Like, I had it, like, working in aerospace, I was making a little bit more money than, you know, most of the people my age and around me. So I was overindulging, and I've had my time in trying to, like,
fit in,
trying to fit in and trying to prove myself, trying to be like over hyper masculine and things like that. I've definitely had my time just due to surrounding and upbringing as well. It depends on where you meet me. You get a different. This is my standard. I'm calm and relaxing, but it depends on where you meet me.
How's balancing being you say you have a daughter, right?
Yep.
How's that balancing being a father with traveling and being on the road and all that?
Man, it's really dope, because like I've always, and just now I'm cultivating an even grander relationship with my daughter, where it's like explaining to her that I'm like the homie, right? You feel me? It's like I don't rule over you or have sanction over you, you know. I don't own you. You know, like, man, we were talking the other day, Satguru has a quote that said, kids don't come from you, they come through you. You know, you're just their passage here. And I'm really cultivating that experience with my daughter, where she gets to make her own decisions. Like, even we'll come from school walking and we'll do like problems. I have her do extra problems. But instead of me, like, I used to just say, all right, this how many you gonna do and this how much time. But now I ask her, how many do you want to do and how much time do you want to do it? And just learning how to really allow her to shape her life, and just trying to water instead. Because, you know, I had a child very early and young, and I didn't have like the most guidance to like properly lead her. So now it's really just,
how old is she?
She's 10.
Okay.
Right now it's just trying to be like beside her in the best way that I can be, because, you know, I'm still like still dabbling, still learning how to be a great father and just a great human. So as I grow, that'll kind of just grow and get nurtured.
Powerful. That's powerful. Yeah, man. Shout out to all the fathers, man. Shout out to the fathers.
Come on. Shout out Pops, man. We on EYL, dog. Y'all niggas at the job. It's up.
In the freestyle, and now that maybe I'm trying to put the puzzle pieces together. You said that you spent your own first $50,000 before you ever had any. So the aerospace is what was funding that?
Yep.
Makes perfect. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay.
Man, I was spending all the job money buying cameras, marketing merch equipment, putting in on shows, buying venues, flying wherever I got, you know, all of that shit.
Gotcha.
So what's next? What's on your vision board for the next 5-10 years?
I'm building Disneyland right now.
Disneyland.
You feel me? That's the goal Disneyland. At home, like really building something where, like, just the backyard in this past 4 shows, we've had people fly out from damn near every single state. And that was my goal. Like, I don't really want to tour. You know, I want people to come like to me so they can experience, you feel me? They could get this experience here at home and just building the equity of Vallejo and the worth there, because no one flies to Vallejo for nothing. So this is the first time in history we've had celebrities and athletes and stuff coming to the V, you know, to experience that. And with that, you know, people, the hotels make money and the restaurants make money. So I'm really building equity and bringing it to the city. So my goal was to build that at home, you know, give us something that we can have for generations to come. And it's like, man, this, you know, I want a statue when I'm gone. Like, we really changed some shit.
You so you tapped in with E-40, huh?
Yeah, water.
Yeah, 40 water.
How'd that come about?
Initially, I think the meeting came through P-Lo. P-Lo sent me the Again record with him and 40 on it, and I hopped on, and then we shot the video, and I met him at the shoot, and, you know, he knew what I was building and what I was doing, and he shot me the line, and he's just been in a mentor role, just like he'll tap in and show me love, just real, really affirming and everything, man. It's just been a lot of love and embrace.
And I was telling you, Vallejo is home of a lot of good musicians. E-40, yourself, her.
Yeah.
Anybody else that I'm missing?
Neff the Pharaoh. We got Gary June. Who's all out the beat, man? You put me on the spot. It's so many. Tessie. Hey, Cujo. There's so many of them.
Who? Is Kalani from there?
Kalani?
Kalani's from Oakland.
Okay.
Oakland. Who?
The boy. SOB, the right. Boy, Swimmy B. Man, we've had a lot of talent come out the V.
Dark Side Rider with
Scandal. Yeah.
And Vallejo's right next to Oakland, right?
Not right next to Oakland. It's, we're like about 30 minutes. Of, so okay. Vallejo's across a bridge. Like, we're our own little
vibe.
Yep. Mm.
But it's all Bay Area.
Yeah. Like, the culture, a lot of the culture
is similar.
Yeah.
It's all the Bay.
Hyper, yeah.
And y'all all rock with each. Because that's what I asked you for. I'm like, is it like Oakland looks at Vallejo? He like, nah, the Bay is the
Nah,
Bay.
Man, we all a unit. Like, we the Bay.
Short dog.
Yeah.
Mr.
Pan.
Yeah.
That's Oakland.
I know, it's all the
Bay. Don't separate them. Hey, Mac Dre from Vallejo is one of the biggest.
And we got, yeah, Simba, he's doing his thing too. He's Shout from, up. Where's he from?
Simba's Antioch. From Antioch.
Yeah. Antioch. That's the Bay though too, right?
Yep, that's the Bay.
Yeah, we'll nah, man. I like the conversation a lot, man. I really think that you have a bright future because you're innovative. And that's extremely important. A lot of people are followers. Most people are followers and most people are not innovative. And they're not they're not creative. And I mean, that's okay because everybody can't be an innovator. But the few people that are innovators, those are the people that actually change the world. So I feel like, you know, you're a very innovative person and you're thinking forward and you're not limiting yourself. You're thinking outside the box and you're doing it independent.
Come on.
And you're moving in real time too. So that's what I like.
Yeah. We might have to get an EYL Disruptor Award.
Yeah.
Hey.
You definitely up there.
I'm just saying. How many people create new things? You feel me? Yeah, I'm just saying.
We have a great appreciation for things.
One of the greatest things that Dane Dash, you should meet him. Have you met him yet?
I haven't yet.
I'm going to set it up to meet him. He will love you. But he told me, he was like, you know, I love y'all because it's one thing to have potential. A lot of people have potential, but you're acting on your potential and you're realizing it in real time.
Bro, in my journal, right. I just wrote, I'm exactly where I am due to my actions. Not my thoughts, not my ideas, but my actions. Everybody got thoughts and ideas, but you feel me? The only shit that exists is the shit that you do. Like,
you
we all shop
digging.
At Walmart because they built one.
Right.
Not that's because the nigga had an idea.
That's a fact. That is a fact. So before we leave, you know, no pressure or anything, but I feel like we had legendary episodes, legendary content. You got a couple bars? Did you?
Come on, y'all gonna let me perform some?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Are we gonna get the roll? Is the roll gonna come out?
Right. There,
y'all want to back this claim, man? We're gonna cue the sound system up.
Yeah.
Come buddy. On, man. It's different.
Yeah.
Okay, he got it now.
It's different.
Not your average show.
It's not your average show. Why be average? Standard deals are for standard niggas. We're not trying to get standard. That's somebody offered me a deal, and I called them and was like, bruh, like, what are you doing? How do you feel about this deal? And they said, I don't think it's a bad deal. I said, bro, I never want to sign a deal that someone says, I don't think it's a bad, that's not how I'm going into this shit, but that's the type of shit that they offer you, right, that they feel like, I don't think it's a bad deal about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you ask them, did you see this deal before they sent it to me? Crickets. Crickets.
We've seen a few things like that.
Right.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. Right.
What is that? A stimmy?
That is a fact.
Earners, what's going on? As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team that help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. When we're looking for a sound engineer, a graphic designer, or an editor, LinkedIn Jobs is the first place we go. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hiring hashtag frame on your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/EYL. That's linkedin.com/EYL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so we about to make some history. My guy is about to give us an exclusive, ooh, not freestyle, performance.
Yeah.
Language is important.
It's different.
It's different.
It's very different.
Come on.
Cue the performance.
We running?
Yep, we running.
Vallejo, EYL, it's not the same. It's different. Pops, we made it. Yeah. Can I talk my shit? The first, we created new shit. Huh? African nigga in the European whip. Like we ain't come here on no European ship. Fuck your opinion, shut your European lips. Money and murder, that's that European. I know better, I just hold my tongue. Niggas yelling out total while I'm on my run. Happily wave back as I hold my gun. Oh shit, I seen a lot of niggas die. They all look like me. Know your rights get denied when you look like me. Yeah, we both from different sides, but you look like me. How come the man in the mirror never look like me? Unfamiliar, quite peculiar, do you know yourself? Are you tending to your garden? Do you grow yourself? Are you living in the past? Do you hold yourself accountable for all that's bad like you owe yourself? A new life, a new bitch, a new you. New goals, new hoes, and new crew. You know them, you know us and them too. You know who everybody is, but who you? I ain't trying to preach cause I hate that shit. But I see niggas dying and I hate that shit. Smiling all the time, I gotta fake that shit. I hate 20 shots, why I make that shit? Sharing all this pain for the income I could gain. Great granny was a slave, why would I ever cop a chain? Gave us band-aids like that could ever stop the pain. Niggas used to hang for these songs that I sang. Niggas used to die for these pictures that I post. Niggas used to die trying to get a right to vote. Liberty and life, they say we got a right to both. But we ain't had rights since they drug us off that boat. Took us from our land, then took our land from us. Cost an arm and a leg, they really took our hands from us. Threw us in them cages, taxed all our wages. Taught us their religion, rewrote all the pages. Been this way for ages, threw us in the mazes. Made it off them cotton fields, now we on the stages. Rapping about ass cheeks, we rapping about chains. Rapping about Benzes, we rapping about gangs. Rapping about oppression, we rapping about pain. I'm rapping about all that, I gotta share the blame. They rapping on a contract, they rapping for the fame. They rapping in a slave deal, we clapping while they hang. Dance, nigga. It's different. EYL, the first ever. Ha!
Legendary.
What else would we expect?
Yeah.
Right.
Live. What else? First, that's a first. That's a first. We had somebody rap before. Shout out to Mickey Fats.
Yes.
But this is a first performance.
Come on.
In the EYL South studio.
Yeah. It's not the same.
We might have residency here.
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
We got some rope.
And it's
going
to be off the base.
Right.
You know, pick a platform that's black owned that we created and we own.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Different.
It's different.
It's different. Now, I appreciate you guys so much, man. Tell the people social media, album, all the stuff you got coming up, whatever, website, merch, all of that. Let them know.
Yeah, super honored. I'm LaRussell on everything. Good Company is the platform. Company spelled C-O-M-P-E-N-N-Y. GoodCompany.co is where you can buy merch, buy albums. We're releasing a ticketing platform coming soon. Please, come to a residency show. We building Disneyland. Go get that bag.
Disneyland.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm Tieta. You can find me on Instagram at TTST, TEETEESTEA. Also on Twitter.
A lot of cheese.
Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Shout out to all earners on EYL University, the number one place for everything in the world of business. And shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch. And shout out to Vallejo.
Huh? Shout out to Vallejo on EYL, not the same.
For the town business.
Yeah.
All right, we appreciate y'all. Love is love.
Yes. Get your tickets. InvestFest Europe. We are headed to London, Royal Albert Hall. And MSG, we doing MSG for Market Monday.
Jeez, so. Them boys different, y'all. Them boys different.
Boys living different.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Nothing was the same.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yeah. EYL did.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.